You are listening to The Three Intuitive Healers with Heather Nicholson, Angela Johnson, and Stephanie Gonzalez. Produced by The Three Intuitive Healers Show. Visit thethreeintuitivehealers.com for articles and podcast shows discussing our personal insights and sharing our experiences with you. It is our belief that every human is an intuitive and every human has the capacity to heal. We'll take you along with us on a journey of self-growth and healing so you too can open your mind, heart, and life to the healing magic within. Thank you for tuning into the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. I'm your host, Heather Nicholson.
Angela Johnson.
I'm Stephanie Gonzalez.
Well, ladies, we've had quite an interesting weekend. And I think, Angela, you had wanted to share something about your integration and working with your guides. So, and I think it was quite fascinating that I think our listeners might find interesting.
Okay. So when we were catching up just now, we were talking about our weekends. I'll preface this by saying that it was end of last week. I had a really difficult time integrating all the energy that's coming in to the point where, and I'm also dealing with menopause, like that it's a very like real world thing, quote unquote, and then also spiritual. And it resulted in a week of no sleep. Body aches, just really, I was not comfortable in my skin to the point where I was crying. It just crescendoed. Then I finally kind of broke through. Heather helped me. She worked on my field. She balanced me out. And I say all that because if anybody at home is kind of going through that, like you feel insane right now, there is the other side, like just keep going. So today, now that I'm back in my body and I feel sort of more me, I sat down and meditated. And when I did that, I got into my head that I wanted my team, which I had felt had been absent during all this really difficult integration. I asked them to integrate with me. And the one that stepped forward is my dragon. My dragon is Blue. And so I name him Blue. So that's clever. He came forward. And as I was sitting there, I could feel this warm. It was funny. In my notes, I put it was warm and spicy. It's like I could smell in my nose and my throat, like I could feel the spices. And he came from the left side of me and stopped just over halfway. So I could feel where I was and where this energy was. And I could see my eyes were closed and I could feel light and shadow playing over them as well. So it was like all these different senses were going. And I said, thank you. And it just felt, even though my heart started racing, it felt very happy and joyful. And so I thanked him because unfortunately work intruded and I knew I had to leave to get on to a call because what I was starting to ask Baloo was, so now that's what you feel like. How do I integrate our wisdom? Like how I want practical real world application, right? So it's like, what's different now? And then, you know, we separated again. At first I was asking him to integrate completely, but when he only went halfway, I got, oh, okay. Like that's not what's supposed to be happening right now. I'm supposed to learn how to work with him separate from me. Cause that's where all the doubt comes in. So I didn't get any answers because like I said, I had to leave and go to quote unquote leave and go to work. But it was pretty amazing. And it was on the one hand, without a doubt, it was happening. And then very quickly my mind went into like, well, doubt mode. And I had to stop myself and say, you know what? Go with your gut instinct. Your gut instinct was this is real. And how are you ever going to build on these experiences and invite more experiences in if I'm constantly negating them? So it was also like this test of faith.
That's so, really cool. How did you meet Blue?
Okay. So I guess it was a couple of years ago now. I used to be in the habit when I would get woken up at 3 a.m., I would go into the bathroom and I would put the toilet down. And I have to say that because I used to say I used to meditate on the toilet and I didn't realize the image I was giving to people. I would put the seat down and then put the towel on it because I didn't want to sit on the cold floor. So I was meditating because again, I was having this really uncomfortable, like out of body, like there was a lot of energies that were going on at the time. And all of a sudden this image of this royal blue dragon, about the size of a large baby with an orange like sunburst on its chest popped into my brain. And now up till that point, I wasn't a dragon person. I didn't read about them. I didn't feel called towards them. So for me to suddenly very vividly have this image of this dragon, which I immediately felt so much love and protection for, just like immediately bonded, like maternal. But that's how he came to me. And you know, I call him Baloo again, because I'm not very clever when it comes to names. And I never trust myself. I still haven't learned to trust myself. When I ask an entity for their name, I never quite trust that I'm not making it up. So I kind of just do very basic like color or acronyms for when I name them. But that's how he came to me and was with me every single day. I couldn't not think about him. He was constantly with me. And then about 2 weeks of him being with me and he was getting bigger, all of a sudden I really got into my head and I started to doubt and I started to think, what if this isn't? Because again, I was not at the time familiar with dragon energy. And so I panicked and I sent him away. I sent him with Jesus and Mary, which are, again, not energies I normally work with.
Yeah, I was going to say, you normally don't work with.
I know. But you know why? Because I was like, okay, it reminds me of childhood. And I wanted him to be brought up with love. And so I thought, well, I know those energies.
Yeah.
Theoretically, I don't work with them. But I think because in my mind, I was dealing with a child. Who's probably totally thousands of years old. I think it's kind of cute that I think it's a child. So, and that broke my heart. And then a while later, Aluna Ash was talking about how around the same time, these dragons started coming to her. I was like, oh my God. So I called my dragon back and I still have guilt over that. And he didn't come back right away, not because he's punishing me, but these other dragon energies were coming in. But recently, the past 3 or 4 days, and when I was in Ojai, all of a sudden he's back and he's taller than me now. And he's got that gorgeous blue and that sunburst of orange. And there are other dragons around. Like there's a pale green dragon that's feminine, but it's blue that I just like love, love, love.
That's really cool.
Thank you.
I was going to ask, what is his purpose with you? Do you know that yet? Or is that unfolding?
I think it's unfolding, but I did mention it. Like, what are we supposed to be working on? And the word sovereignty popped into my head. But I'll be honest, I haven't really delved into that. It's been a matter of like really learning to have him next to me and not feel like I'm unworthy, guilty over sending him away. What do I talk about? Like, oh my God, you're still here. I'm working on billing for work.
That's working on your sovereignty.
Yes.
Yeah.
So going back to working on your sovereignty, was that an issue that had come up for you? I guess I'm always trying to look like, why this or what can I learn from it? So I'm looking for your guidance. Like, was this something that definitely you would have wanted to have teachings?
Well, it's something that I'm always wanting to help others with. So I think it's like, okay, well, if you say you want to help others and you need to master this, and mine doesn't, now it doesn't come out, let's say, in the broad overt ways of defending boundaries at work. Like, I'm pretty good at that, but it's the small subtle ways. Like, I want to work with Galactics. I want to work with my team. And yet I feel like, well, what am I going to talk to them about? They probably got a lot of things on their mind. Like, why, you know, who am I to bother them right now? Like, maybe if they need me, it's like, okay, well, no one's going to come visit you if you're like saying, come, don't come, visit, don't visit. So working with him, Baloo, is really helping me to feel worthy to say, hey, I just feel like being around you. Yeah. I just wanted to say, I love you. Now I'm going to go work on billing for work. And if there's anything you need from me, just know I'm here. You know, just like really treating it like a friend and getting comfortable with that. And also working with my attention. God, this is why those listening at home, if you can meditate, because I will sit there and I'll think, okay, I want to talk to my team. And then shiny object, suddenly I'm in the kitchen cooking toast and I'm thinking, hold on. The last I remembered, I was sitting down asking my team to come visit me. And then apparently just ADD'd all the way across the condo to the kitchen. So, you know, that too made me feel like, oh, I don't want to call them if I'm just going to be all over the place. So does that answer your question, Stephanie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sure does. Thank you. That's pretty interesting. Heather, how would you, let me go back to Angela, one more question. Was this your first real relationship with, a spiritual being that you consider a bond, or have you had other ones? So this is in addition?
I mean, there was one that was with me for a while and I called her Purple. So you can see the theme here. I know, Stephanie, for those of you at home, Stephanie's just shaking her head. I don't work a lot, like I don't think Palladian or whatever, but that came through Arcturian very clearly. And I haven't felt her like this in a long time, but for about a week, I could feel her. And it was this wave of love that I almost felt like, was this a mother in a past life? Like I really just like this wave of love, and I would feel it. It would be right next to my face and then it would go away. And she hasn't been back. And I was like, okay, what is this? This was sort of my entree into, because other than that, it hadn't been that individualized. You know, I work with Sipigama, which is a goddess from my Bon teachings. And she's a protector goddess. And so I always have her at my back, but I don't have that, like, I don't feel her here. It's more like when you pray or you invoke them, but I don't feel her here. These two I felt. And so that was the only other time.
To the listeners, just to let you know, Angela's pointing to her back. She doesn't feel her at her back.
There you go, Sipigama at my back. Purple is on my right, which is funny because she's very feminine, and the very masculine Baloo is on my left. So that's an odd juxtaposition.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. And I tried to swap them and they don't feel, it's like, nope, this is where we are. We're here. So.
Well, good for you. I'm glad you've had a wonderful reuniting, you know, with Blue. And I look forward to hearing many more adventures on how he continues to grow with you or educate you or learn from you, however
Thank you.
Relationship's going to unfold. And let's turn to Heather. Heather, who do you want to talk about? You've got your team. You've got...
I got my team. What do you want?
There's a cast of thousands.
You tell us.
Sometimes when I look and I cast my vision out, sometimes I can see like very ghost images of just in the far back in the fog of just these heads, a whole bunch of heads. And I was just like, oh my God, is that my team?
That's how do you bananas. Shower? See, how do you shower with all that going on? That's where I go. And maybe it's because I grew up Catholic, but I'm like,
oh no, when I'm on the toilet and then all of a sudden I start seeing flashes of lights and I'm just like, yep, can't even pee in peace. But you know what? After so many surgeries and having been exposed to, you know, the whole hospital, what do they do when the residents come in and you're part of the team and they got to mm-hmm. look at you? Yeah. Thanks. Just, you know what? Everybody's seen it. So who cares? Why not the spiritual?
We're talking about whole with a W, right?
So, you know what? It doesn't matter. And for the most part, spirits don't care what you look like. So, but, you know what? The first time I was so curious, it was about 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago, I was driving on the freeway and I was thinking, I have a team. Who is on my team? Who is like, who's do I have a guardian angel? Who's a part of my team? And then I asked, who's there? And like, who's, I don't remember the exact words. So, and I know my mind was busy driving on the freeway and it was busy doing that. So I heard Gabriel and I was just like, wow, that was so forceful. I was like, Gabriel. And then like Archangel Gabriel. Yes. I'm like, oh, who am I to get Archangel Gabriel? I was like, yeah, right. And then I went and saw a medium. We became friends and she's just like, yep, you actually do. And I was just, she's like, I don't say that to most people. People will come in my shop and say, oh yeah, I have an archangel for part of my team. And no, you don't, but you do. And I was just like, wow, I have an archangel part of my team. And I was just like, really, what does that even mean? So I tried, I was like, who else is on my team? And I have to say that my team has changed over several times. As I expand in consciousness, parts of my team leaves me. The only ones that have stayed permanent has been that I know of Archangel Gabriel. I don't think the others have they've come and gone. So, and then, and yeah, I have the closest relationship with Gabriel. Because it's just, it feels like to me an incredibly close relationship with a brother. And I hear him call me sister and I call him brother. So, and it's just this overwhelming love that just pours out of my heart. So, and I can hear Gabriel the best. And so even when something comes in kind of distorted or I know I'm not getting it right, I'll call in Gabriel and he'll kind of fix it for me. And I'm like, oh, okay. That makes more sense. And, but the one thing that I do and I try to, I don't want to say, the one thing that I do is ask for a deeper, stronger relationship with my personal team. To me, there is your personal team that you come with that is always going to be there. And then there's ones outside of it that is not your personal team that are there to help. But I make sure when I call in my team, it's my personal team. Mm. Because when you just ask for help, you'll get anybody that comes in to help you. So I make sure that I'm always saying it's my personal team. Or if I'm working with somebody else or working on somebody else, I'll ask for their personal team and my team to please assist whatever's going on. So that's one thing that with my team. But yeah, I always, I'd say at least every month, I'll say I want a deeper, stronger connection with my team. And it also goes for whoever else you want a deeper, stronger connection, because they're there waiting to help you. So you just got to open up to it.
Do you see all of your team members, or some you feel, some you hear?
I don't really see. I mean, I know I talk about like every once in a while I'll get a vision. I don't really see. I recently, like back in 2019, like Angela, I have a dragon as well, but she went away for a little bit. It's like she expanded as well and she went away and then she came back and then she's planted in my back. I actually physically feel her on my back. And it's very interesting. It's the last time she woke me up and she shook my whole entire body in the back. And you're probably wondering, what does she feel like? I don't know. It's just an energy that I can feel at my back and I can't quite explain it. And I asked her for her name. You don't really have a name because the American language doesn't quite have a word for what you're saying. So I said, you know what? At first I was like, oh, can I call you Hope? And she's like, no.
What are you, a 12-year-old?
Oh, no. And I think I said peace or hope or like that. And she's like, no. And I was like, wait, you're a badass. So I'm going to call you Artemis. And I said, is that okay? Do you mind if I call you Artemis? And she's like, yeah, I like that. That's okay. So I call my dragon Artemis. She's got my back.
Can you explain really to a lot of the listeners and perhaps to me also why, or maybe you don't even know why, it's not necessary, but why she chooses to live or attach or be at your back. What is that about?
I think that's exactly what it means. I mean, I think she's got my back. She watches my back. I think that's why she's purposefully there. I mean,
okay. So I just don't want to, like, in my head start thinking, and Gabriel's at your elbow and someone's at your, they're not all hanging off your body parts.
No.
Okay.
No, because I've actually felt her at my back. So I think she's there, you know. And then it's really interesting because I have seen Artemis when she first came to me. And usually when spirits have crossed over or someone's come to me, sometimes it looks like a green screen. And so they look like an outline of green screen. And this dragon popped up in front of me and I was like, oh, that's very pretty. And she went to my back. But for some reason in my mind's eye, if I was to imagine it, she would have been pearl opalescent. She came back pearl opalescent. So she's like a whitish pearl opalescent. And then recently I've had this really not nice dream. Then all of a sudden my back shook, my whole entire backside shook, and it woke me up, but I still kept my eyes closed. And then all of a sudden it was the most brightest red dragon staring in front of me that I've ever seen. I've never seen pigment this color ever while I'm awake. I've never seen this vibrant red, and it had gold eyes and it was looking at me. And I was just like, holy cow. I got a little excited though. I was like, oh, red dragon. But I knew that this dragon was in my dream and he was the male at my backside whispering not nice things in my ear. So
can I ask, okay, he in your dream, he was at your backside, but Artemis is in your backside. So how many people do you need to have your back? Or not people?
I don't know. But this dragon was, I think this dragon was here for training. And whether it was to let me know, you know, there's still stuff in my fields that needs to be worked on, that energies can pick on me or whatever. But it came up for me to recognize. And I understood that this was, you know, I need to recognize this. And because I have issues with being the object of desire for men. So, and that's what he was in my dream. And I didn't like it. So I think it was Artemis that shook me in my back. And then I woke up to this dragon being in front of me. And I was just like, wow. So
let me ask, when Angela was talking about blue and the subject came up, maybe he's there for her sovereignty. For you, looking at how your relationship with Artemis in your back, and then how this other red dragon comes in again at your back, is something, have you always felt supported, or have you lived your life feeling unsupported? Is this something like we can look how Angela's dragon has played a role in her? Is this something that you can see that bridge for you too? Or this has nothing to do with that, feeling supported or being supported?
I mean, I feel supported, but it's not like Angela's relationship with her blue. I would imagine her relationship with blue is my relationship with Gabriel. So
yeah, I would agree with that. The way you describe it as like a brother, now that Baloo's taller, there is that sort of equal, or how I would imagine the mother of an adult child, where it's that still that love, but it's more equal. And yeah, maybe not brotherly, but it's just more equal.
A respectful exchange.
Yeah. I mean, I've even had where I saw a flying Pegasus, well, a flying unicorn with wings, and it came loping up my legs. I actually saw that. So, and then it went into my body, into my chest. And I was like, oh, okay, there's flying unicorns.
Okay, we're going to need to stop right there and explain that for the audience. On and pass the sugar. No. Okay. So, okay. What does that even mean? And
Stephanie, I really don't know. So when
I wish really we could have visuals so the audience could see Stephanie's reaction sometimes.
She's falling out of her chair, practically going, oh my God. Who what do you am even I talking mean? To? Yeah. It's just, I keep back on all this stuff? Because it sounds so fantastical and just, you know, some kid's dream. But I felt it and I've seen it run up my legs. And part of me was thinking that this, I guess they call it an alicorn. An alicorn is there to, was here to kind of teach me on how to be, use my senses better. My clairsentience, my clairvoyance, my clairaudience, you know, all of it. So, and I think she's here to help teach me. And she told me her name, but I couldn't quite remember. It starts with an S, and it's her name was actually means a gift from God. So isn't that interesting? It's like Salma or Selma or something like that. So, and I forget what it is, but I haven't interacted with her only a couple of times. And then, I'll get teachers every once in a while. I know right now I have one, and I asked her what her name was, and she's like, you don't need to know that. And I was like, okay, I'll just call you teacher then. So, and it's just, yeah, it's bananas.
Can you go back to the alicorn? I know what a unicorn is. I think some of us know what the unicorn is. I get Pegasus. I missed. Is Pegasus an alicorn? Or I don't know how.
Okay. So it was, because I actually saw a horn with wings. So I was just like, oh, they come as both. And I was talking to my best friend as we were walking. I was like, did you know that there's unicorns with wings? And she's like, yeah, they call them alicorns. And I was like, that's a real thing? Okay. So, but there's just so, and it's interesting. I'll get flashes of whoever's with me at that time. And does it scare me? No, not really. I remember one time, I remember one time, I know I was being tested and I don't think I quite passed, because all of a sudden a green little Martian popped up in my vision, right? When this was about 5 years ago when everything was happening. Cause in truth be told, about 5 years ago, for a couple of years, I was able to see everything. I astral projected. I got to go wherever I wanted. I remember sneaking up on people. I remember this one guy trying to put something in a cabinet, and all of a sudden he starts slowly looking over his shoulder at me, because like I snuck up on him, and I just started busting up. I busted up laughing. And it brought me out of meditation. So, I mean, I used to see a lot of stuff, and I used to see floating galaxies. It was a lot. And then slowly as time went by, everything got wiped away. Like, I don't see anything. I don't really, everything is pure physical. And every once in a while I'll get pops and flashes of stuff that goes on. Now it's starting to come back more, and it has more depth and it's vivid, but,
yeah, it started going away around the same time. Like, I used to see really vivid images as I would wake up in the middle of the night, but I wouldn't open my eyes, but I would know, like, okay, I'm in bed, here's Chad. And I would see all of the energy. I would ask myself, okay, what are the energies I'm dealing with? And sometimes I would see like dragons. I would see all of these beautiful like people in front of me. It was like that. And then sometimes I would see these images, and as I would panic before I was really comfortable working with energy, I remember one time all of these beautiful like flowers and everything started blossoming. And then I panicked, like, what is this energy? And everything wilted in front of me. And I was being trained that energy is neutral. If I'm going to bring fear to it, it's going to spin it in that direction. Or if I can stay in love and in that meditative state, then the energy would keep increasing its vibration to get higher and higher. That was a little bit different than there is an actual entity and doesn't really matter how I feel about it. It's just like, it is what it is. But that used to happen a lot. That hasn't happened in years, you know? And even to the point where I'm like, okay, what are the energies I'm dealing with? I don't see the patterns anymore. I used to see like tightly gridded like crosses, or all these different geometric sacred shapes would start to come forward. And I don't see that anymore. Yeah. So I don't know and Heather went through it, and also my teacher, who's in the Bon tradition, who's, you know, very spiritual and training to be a lama, all that, even she used to see all these things, and it went away. And we were lamenting that, like, what happened, you know? So
I have a theory about that one. I think a lot of people, that happened to them. So things could change and it doesn't look scary. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden now it's coming back because everybody is basically raising their vibrational frequency. Mm-hmm. And so now we can come from more of a spiritual maturity, because I know that we definitely need that spiritual maturity to be dealing with these energies. Because if I was this, like, I forgot to finish. So in the beginning, I had this green little alien pop up in front of me, and I was like, ooh, green alien. Yay. Come here, come closer. And I told it, and it said, come closer. And that it popped away. And I was like, darn it. And then that's when everything started going away. And I was like, oh, I think I failed my little test.
Was that with your physical eyes or your mind's eye, Heather? So that
I was meditating.
Oh, so it was during this, meditation.
I was during meditation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha.
And I would
gotcha.
Most of this, all of this is all during meditation, or I wake up and I make sure to keep my eyes closed and I stay in that in-between phase where I know what's going on around me, but I can still see what's going on.
And if you can, for those at home, if that little window of time between when you first realize you're awake, if you can train yourself not to open your eyes and just to relax, you're in a great state to get mm-hmm. messages and, mm-hmm. you know, ask to see things or have visions or whatever. That's a really great state because you're still in that liminal sort of deeply meditative state. So that's a great time to work.
Yeah.
And that was the same with you, Angela, because when you first saw Blue, that was in your meditation. And then when you sense he's around you, that's feeling, that's not physically with the eyeballs, so that we can help the listeners know what you're talking about.
When Blue first came to me, I was awake at 3 a.m. So I'm very tired, stumbling into the bathroom to go to the meditation. And it was very easy, even though I was sitting up and cold, it was very easy to relax and get back into that like deeply meditative state. And the visual that I saw, that sort of flash, like I say, you know, those old viewfinders where you click and a different picture suddenly is put in your brain. That's what it felt like. Like 1 minute, my eyes are closed. I know I'm in the bathroom and I'm sitting there, my eyes are closed, and all I can see is the black of my eyes. And suddenly this mm-hmm. image is there. And I'm not daydreaming it. You know, I'm not conjuring it up. It feels like it's inserted there. When I work with him today, it was the first time like I felt the physical, like that was physically going across my body. Otherwise, it is that sort of all in the mind's eye type of thing. I don't know how else to describe it other than that.
No, I think that's important, just because a lot of, certainly when I first started listening to people and reading their books, and they would always, people, mediums and intuitives talk about seeing. And I always believed it was with their physical eyes. So it always kept me thinking I didn't have what they had, because they are seeing spirits. They are just walking around and they're engaging physically. Later did I learn that most of them, the vast majority of intuitives, are seeing it in the mind's eye. That doesn't discount it. It just helps the listeners understand that it's just not in front of you with your eyes open. So you're not any different and you can do this. It's being in that place that allows that vision to come in. And sometimes it just comes in whether you're ready for it or not,
exactly.
Obviously in many cases, correct? But it is either just a flash or it's when you're in that surrender, right? That relaxation mm-hmm. point. Okay, gotcha. So people can understand.
Another sort of sensation is, you know, when you're in a room and you can feel and you don't even have to turn around, or you know when someone's walked in. You may have headphones on, you may not hear it, but you can feel someone's there. To a lesser extent, that's what it can feel like when you're meditating and you call in your team and you just start to feel, not physically, like not like a, I don't at least have that tactile, Heather does, but I will all of a sudden have that sense of like, someone's in the room. That is what I usually mean when I say feel. I don't actually feel things. Heather has that sensation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to let the listeners know there's another version of how we see things. And since you both are very similar in your relationship with your guide and guides, for me, it is different. And so it offers the listeners a little alternative. I've long worked with angels pretty much my whole life. I've always called to them. I've always talked to them. I have never seen an angel. I've tried to, but there's nothing to describe other than the one I've seen in books, perchance, or what people have described when I've read some of their books. Some of them have wings, some of them don't. Some of them look like people. Some of them look like, you know, past civilizations, whatever the case. So for me, I just know they're there. I don't need to see them. And that was always okay. But when it came time to try to know my guides, the more I did mediumship and intuitive work, it just wasn't easy.
Right?
Yeah, it was either part resistance, part doubt. And I'll tell you what I did have resistance, and I still do, was anyone telling me who my guides and people were. And maybe that was because I didn't know them. So I certainly didn't want someone else telling me who they were. And that's just my own doubt. That doesn't mean it's right or wrong. But I just was like, if someone said, oh, you have three guides around you and threw in some names, I was just like, all right, well, that's cool. That's your biz, but that's not mine. I'll tell you what my name is, you know, or their names are. So the very first image I ever got was after Reiki. And I was doing a meditation to know a guide. And this man popped up and again, mind's eye. And he had such a beautiful, funny smile. And immediately what came to mind, and I didn't have the name right at the beginning, I now know it's Ernest Borgnine. And for anyone who wasn't raised in the 1900s, they're probably like, I don't even know who that is. But he almost had a split tooth, big grin. He was just such a happy face. And so this man, this guide man, looked like him. And he was standing outside of a big tent. And I just kind of came with the knowledge that he's a gatekeeper for me. He is there to make sure whoever comes into my view or contact communication was not threatening. That's the way I saw it. So I asked what the name was. I got this name, Rooney. And I just said, all right, well, I guess that's weird. I guess I flipped my lid at this point now. Well, interestingly enough, there's no validation to it. I just decided, I guess that's what is that how easy it is or how ridiculous it is? I just didn't know. But interestingly enough, that weekend I was at an antique shop and I was walking around, you know, just looking at different things. And it came upon this little bobblehead who was a Franciscan monk and it was for sale. And he had the little robe on and his head had a big, gigantic smile, exactly like I had seen with Rooney with the split tooth. And I was so tempted to buy it because I was like, oh my God, that's Rooney. So then I played the game in the head. Are you showing me that? That's because I saw you. So it's validation. And anyway, it just continues to lead to more and more questions. I would call him. I would talk to him. But there was never any more visitation, if that's even the word, or seeing of him. Then I went on to the next thing. I had a Reiki vision of a person I saw. I'm very clairvoyant. So seeing things is not hard at all. It's believing that this person is the role that I'm giving them. I've since changed my mind on things. I've listened to a couple intuitives who've given some different perspectives. One is that the names are just not important. They're for our human comfort, right? So that we know we can calm some. So whatever you want to calm, right, is good for you because you remember it and you're comfortable with it. The other thing that someone brought up was, it was a medium who said, I've never seen any of my guides. I just work with the energy. I know I'm supported. I know I'm comforted. I know I'm always supported, but I have yet to see anybody who I'm going to say is my team or my guide. And I really resonated with that. You know, I thought, I don't need, if I've been comforted with knowing my angels were around, I can be comforted with knowing I've got guidance, whether I'm doing healing work or right intuitive work. And that's okay for now. And maybe either I don't need to know, or maybe because I require so much validation that they can't prove to me, because I'm not going to believe it anyway, unless someone literally, you know, does something. And what is that something, right? On top of the fact that they just showed me who they are, then do I need the clairaudience? You got to tell me who they are. Then do I need the feeling? See, it could never be enough. So maybe it's just like, you know what, just work with the energy, because you're not willing perhaps to just accept it and to move on with it. So that's how I've kind of gone with it. And I own it on my own. I say, maybe the day, like for you, Heather, like you use the word fantastical, which I love, because I love fantastical things, but I may love it, but I'm probably not willing to accept it, you know, for myself. So until I get to that point where I see something and I'm comfortable with it, how could I possibly have a team that I work with regularly? So to the viewers or the listeners, I would say the same thing, you know, it's, your proof's going to come in your, when you have the belief, right? Your images are going to be known to you only if you're able to believe that it's possible and that it's true for you. If you believe it, that's all you need. That's all you need. It's true for you.
Yeah.
No one's going to prove it or disprove it because it's yours, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, and I'm like a little puppy when it comes to spirits, even though they could be, you know, not so nice. I'm like, hi, how are you doing? What you doing? You know?
And see, I'm like, you're an extension of me. Prove that you're separate. I think I'm you, you know?
But you know, I am a firm believer that our guys that come to help us is just another extension of us, but maybe had a different lifetime somewhere else. Yeah. So
I would agree.
Yeah. They're an extension of our soul that just had a different experience somewhere else.
Especially with like Angela having that relationship, she talks about this love and this bond with Blue, you know, extension of herself, another energy she knew in a different form, in a different time, mm-hmm. but that she recognizes it and it's familiar. And it feels, I mean, I don't want to speak for you, Angela, but in the beginning where you talked about this baby dragon, and then you sent it away for however that needed to develop. But then when it came back, it was, like you said, it was almost, the size was bigger and you felt more compatible with it. It feels like the role is, how I would say, not soulmate, but some kind of connection, a deep energetic connection, like familiar. That's the word. Like, you know who this is. It's just this time it looks different.
Yeah.
Is that how maybe you would understand?
Maybe. See, I have the problem where I tend to go so high level. I'm like, well, we're all source. It's all the same, you know, and then so individuating out has been really hard. Like, I've wanted to work with my team the way I would do a podcast with you ladies. Yes, on one level, we're all source. We're all the same thing. But clearly, we're three individual bodies at this level. And that's how I want to work with my team. Maybe not see them the way I see you guys, but really feel the distinction between each of them. So for a long time, I was really caught up in my mind and kept saying, no, it's just me projecting. Well, yeah, it's all a projection. And so I'm a projection of them, you know, which I would play with that concept. I'm a projection of Baloo's mind. I'm a projection of Sipi Gama's mind. And that would help me sort of like loosen up that sticking point. But in terms of it being very familiar, yes. Or like a familiar, yes, he is. Is that what you were asking?
Well, Heather talks about, she said she has that, it would be akin to her relationship with Gabriel. It's just this, a different kind of bond, other than you're supporting, the guide supporting you, guiding you, protecting you, teaching you. This is kind of different.
It's like a
very relatable. Yeah. Okay. There you go. Yeah.
It's kind of like having an older brother in high school while you're in grade school. You know, it's like they know so much more, and there is a level of protection there, but really it's this sort of, it's equal. I certainly don't worship them. I certainly don't, you know, but I'll ask advice, but I also feel very comfortable feeling protective and loving towards him. I don't know if that answered your question still.
Do you think, have either one of you worked with angels as your guides, or do you think that's a different energy or the same?
Well, she's got Gabriel.
The archangels. Yeah, there we go. Right.
Well, yeah. Cause I mean, For a time being, I had Metatron that would pop in, and I remember physically seeing him pop in front of me, and there was orange, and I was like, "Oh, you really are orange. your like aura was orange." And I was like, "No kidding." Yeah, I had Archangel Ezekiel. So for quite a while, people would cross over through me, and that actually stopped. And I don't know, that's what Ezekiel was there for, to help people. Kind of like, lack of a better word, help ferry him across. Like, I'd get him to a certain point and he would pick up the rest. I don't know if he's still there. I haven't asked, really. There, every once in a while, a Michael will pop in. So I work very much with the angels, like, a lot. And I know, I call them my tattle squad because, and I think they're the other angels, and I don't know quite who they are, but they go and tattle on me. So, so what I mean by that is, there has been times when I'm going through energy integrations and I'll pop through the energy integrations where my body's still feeling it, but I can hear very audibly people talk on the other side. And I've heard my voice talking to another male voice saying, okay, so we're working on the nervous system, da 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 da. And then all of a sudden I hear the guy's voice say, they say that she can hear you. And all of a sudden I pop out of it. So I've done it several times. And the first time that happened, when they said she can hear you, right afterwards, my soul came to me and said, Heather, you need to be honest with us. When you hear us, you need to announce yourself. You need to say. And I said, well, why? I was a little bit cheeky, you know, I was like, fine. And then I'm talking to Angela, and I was like, Angela's like, just be quiet next time. So that night they came to me again and said, no, you need to understand, please understand, it's, you're not ready yet. So, and I understand now that there's a level of spiritual maturity that we need to go through before we start taking on other stuff that's going on, because we are such creator beings that we can take that and morph it into something that is and distort it to where it doesn't need to go. So that's what I mean.
Heather, what's popping into my mind while you say that, it's maturity, but it's also discipline. When I was first working with the energies and my energy was neutral and I'd see it in front of me, and then the fear would creep in before I was able to really focus my mind, I would see the energy turning. And you're right, we are in creator state. We are making. So if you're not mature or if you're not mentally focused, you could inadvertently create something.
So I think you need to do a lot of, you don't need to, but there's a lot of working and baggage releasing that you need to go through before you can get to these states where you actually know more and you're allowed to know more. So I announce, I'm like, I can hear you. And like the last time they popped in ocean waves.
Spiritual music.
And Heather, can you also, just like we talked about, the scene is in the mind's eye for the most part, is what you're hearing, is that claircognizant? It's you just know, or are you audibly hearing? So
when I actually hear him, I hear him audibly, like, they're in the same room talking in my head in a different voice, but I also hear them as, like, I normally hear them if I'm meditating and I'm and they have messages for me, because I'll ask them, you know, is there anything that I need to know right now? And it will sound like my consciousness talking back to me. And you kind of have to put the feeling of what's going on inside you. Like when I talk to Gabriel, there's a distinct feeling in my heart center. And then when he's talking to me, he'll say something and it sounds like my consciousness, but it's also, there's this flavor that you're feeling in your heart center that, you know, it's Gabriel. So
it's like a reverberation, would you say?
No, it is. So it feels like energy. It just, it feels like bubble that sits on my chest. It's a lot of power in it. And it's hard to describe because I'm very, very claircognizant. So it's just kind of a knowingness that comes with the feeling of the energy. And then also hearing your consciousness talk to you. And then also sometimes I'll see blue, purple floaty in front of myself. So that's another way I learned that I had spirit guides, because all of a sudden it would be looking like a lava lamp and it was this indigo color that's floating in front of me. And it talked to me one time and I was like, oh my God. Okay. You're not my third eye. You're actually one of my spirit guides. So, but
so,
yeah.
Okay. Just so again, so
I was meditation.
What? Yeah. Okay, good. So a lava lamp wasn't literally talking
no.
to you. Okay.
No.
So that's the essence. You got those colors that you yeah. saw moving.
Yeah.
Then you got the information.
Right.
Okay.
Because to me, spirit guides, like angels, they're all energy. They don't, to me, they really don't have form. So they're going to come to me not in form. When I first started out, I asked for whoever I work with to just be in their natural form. I don't want you trying to conform to what I think you might be. I want it to be their true form, whether it's an energy form or whatever.
Okay. So let me go back right there. I don't want you to conform to I think what you might be. Why? Is that for your sake? I mean, so say you had this image of right, an angel and it came that way. Why don't you want to see it that way? Because you just want to see it in its rawness. You don't want to project your same for you.
To me, it would be distorting. You know what I mean? I don't need you to, when I want energy to come in, I want it to come in its purest form and not what I think it is. That's just, to me, it's a lie if it's anything else but that.
It's like it has to wear a mask.
And right. Exactly.
You want to see, because I'll ask that sometimes, you know, how would you like to appear? Because then I'm learning more about who I'm dealing with versus them having to conform to something so I can relate to it.
Right.
It's like I want to learn how to relate to energies and entities on their terms to broaden my perspective.
Exactly.
But what if the dragon is a mask? What if underneath it's, you know, something we can't even describe, right?
That,
yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's another
with one big eye. Right.
Yeah. And that's fine. You know, I remember one time I was in a Reiki chair or something. We did a meditation. I was like, all of a sudden I kept blowing up and I was huge, huge. And I was this big lumpy mountain. And I remember my part of me thinking, that's not very attractive. And I was like, Angela, come on. Clearly Angela is an avatar, you know? And I was asking like, what's my true form? And it was this big blobby, huge mountain type thing. And I just thought it's energy. So, you know, I want to see what's really there so that I can learn. And if it's not attractive, well, that's my ego coming mm-hmm. from the human yeah. life. And what I'm trying to do is respect that I'm celebrate that I'm human, but also draw on all the wisdoms that my lifetimes and you know, we can tap into the divine. So I want to be able to use that wisdom and not have to always put it into a neat little bow so that my human can feel better about it.
Well, I think that's important because so many times I think we hear from other people, classes and podcasts, when others talk about their spirit guides, there's a lot of times there's a Native American, there's archangels, there's fairies, you know, really exciting, charming, wonderful things. I've yet to hear someone talk about, I've got this spider creature man, you know, with eight legs and these big yeah. fangs, but I love them dearly. Or I've got, you know, a Wendigo, or I've got a Bigfoot. How,
yeah. you know, how well, I will, be? You know, I've got Beloved, which was that disformed right there, who say she's disformed. Maybe I am, you know, but I've dealt with that. And I have dealt with energies for a long time. I was dealing with this sort of like another mountainous, like I must have been working with elementals, because it was not only was I this big lumpy mountain, but there was this feminine, she was as large as a mountain, and I was working with her, and it was very non-form, you know, I got the privilege of just learning to work with her as she was. And yeah, it's kind of like everybody's Cleopatra in their former life. It's like, I don't think so. I think, oh, maybe you might have been a scullery maid, you know, but nobody wants the like unsexy, like, oh, you know, I was this amazing thing. So yeah. And I think that's why Heather was told by the medium, it's like everybody wants to say they have
an archangel,
but you know, very few.
And maybe every single person does, but they just don't know him. Maybe. You know what I mean? Maybe everyone's, you know, shielded by Michael. Everyone's told to call him, especially in Christianity, right? You're supposed to call Michael and you're supposed to call Raphael for healing. So maybe they're all just one and the same, nothing and something. It's just like, again, going back to that projection, right? And that belief.
Or maybe people, you know, it's interesting because for a long time before I became a healer, when I would go to psychics and be like, you know, am I going to be an actress? They'd be like, well, I actually see Archangel Raphael. I'm like, whatever. Is there like an Archangel of acting? And do you see them?
Archangel of acting. Oh, that's hilarious.
So, yeah, I would get that a lot. But who's to say it was Raphael? It could have just been this, because they would see green. And so they associated with Raphael, and clearly I had a healer vibe. But I will say, I do call on Michael when I'm, you know, if I'm flummoxed working with an energy, I will call on him, because it's just something that my brain doesn't even have to like decipher. Michael means a very strong, solid, like I know what I mean when I call on Michael. But other than that, I've tried to work with Uriel a bit. I said, you know, Raphael shows up a lot, but really nothing. I don't tend to use the angels a lot. I remember back in Boston, I think I told you guys this one time, I was due to work that next week with an ex-boyfriend of mine. And I knew that his current girlfriend was going to be there as well. And it was just very like, I already couldn't eat, even though we had broken up and I didn't want to be with him. It was that horrible, like heartache that you feel, that like, slicing feeling in your heart. And I remember just saying, angels, please heal this. And I'd never done that before. Never prayed. You know, I knew of angels, but it never occurred to me to ask him for a healing. And instantaneously, all the pain evaporated. And I mean, I would think of him and it wouldn't come. And all that week, I was over him. It was gone. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. And I was like, okay, well, I'm praying to angels, you know, and it never happened again. And so eventually that it just evaporated. And I didn't wake up for like a decade after that anyway. So I have had a miraculous, spontaneous healing, so to speak. But I haven't, beyond that, I don't really work with angels a lot. And who's, you know.
That's so cool. You know, I've had also where Gabriel has come to me not only as male, but also as female. So when I've needed comfort, when I was first starting on my path, I was working through a lot of baggage, and it was crawl in the fetal position in the corner and just cry myself to sleep, you know, just kind of like that kind of depression and just working through a lot of baggage. And I just remember sitting on my bed and I'd call to Gabriel and I said, I need a hug. I need like a spiritual hug. I just need you here. So, and I remember sitting on my bed on the edge, and then all of a sudden Gabriel showed up next to me, and it was female energy, because normally Gabriel comes to me as male, but I guess in this time I needed a like a feminine energy just coming in and just basically got a spiritual hug. Mm. So it does change. And I want the listeners to know that sometimes it's not always one or the other.
That's a good point. And again, like to Andrew's point, you know, ask and you shall receive. And Heather, mm-hmm. it may change on how the energy feels. And whether you have a relationship with your team and are blessed to know them, that's wonderful. And if you don't, I would see it the way I see God. You know, I don't see God physically or in my mind's eye. I just know God's always there, or the creator energy is there. So for me, that's the same with my team, with my guides. I'm just believing that they exist, and they exist with me. So however it works for each one of us.
Yeah. I know for me, I hear on the physical, a lot of cracking in my room. Because there will be a lot of popping and cracking. And sometimes it sounds like wood cracking in my room. Crack, crack. And you're just like, That's a lot. Whether it's energy coming in, I've noticed when it's energy coming in to integrate with me, I'll hear it as crack. But also when other entities come in into the room, I'll also hear it as a crack as well, depending on how strong they are. That's one way. And I also see flashes of light around me. I don't know. Have you ladies have anything physical that you actually see with your eyes?
No. Not with my eyes open.
As far as a guide or anything.
Yeah, anything.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a whole nother show. Let us keep the listeners on the edge of their seat, and we'll return with what have you seen with
what have you seen?
Eyes.
Not
we'll
much. Explore, this one's all going to be on Stephanie.
Well, maybe it'll remind you guys, because even like Angela talked about that flash that she saw with Blue. I think we all see more than we give credit to.
Receive, yeah.
But yes. It'll be fun to explore. We'll talk about what we see and what we hear. There we
all
go. Right.
Yeah.
Exciting.
All right, ladies. Well, it's been quite an interesting show and talking to y'all. I hope the listeners have enjoyed today. We like to thank the listeners for tuning in to the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. We hope you're able to find the healing magic within.
Thank you for listening to us on the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. Remember, when we open ourselves to healing, we positively affect our environment. This podcast represents the opinion of the Three Intuitive Healers and their guests to the show. The content should not be taken as medical or psychological advice and is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Each person is unique, so please consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Views and opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not represent that of our places of work. While we make every effort to ensure that the information we share is accurate, no guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements or opinions made in this podcast.